after I won the legal battle, because I was within my rights, I followed the law. The company didn't, you know, they had no right to make all those demands and threats on me. I actually notified the global CEO of this multi-billion dollar company about the corrupt HR director's behavior, and the global CEO proceeded to fire the corrupt HR director. And that was a triumphant moment for me, because I finally stood up to a bully and won. And yeah, man, that's my message. Well, one of my messages, you know, stand up for yourself, speak up, speak out. Don't let them intimidate you into silence. You have power. You have rights.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dominic Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's Seven Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends, because it's the era of returning guests. So thanks for the folks who support the show to keep the lights on, indeed, because you're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat five times over, indeed, because today's guest, he hasn't been on in freaking, my God, it's been almost 8 years. My man was on episode 14, y'all. My man was here since episode 14, back when we were recording these chats on Skype, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing as an editor. But now we've upgraded. It's over 900 plus episodes later. My man is back and better than ever, y'all. My man is still kicking lots of keister out in the freaking world, because today's wonderful guest, y'all. My man is an award-winning, best-selling author who's a leadership expert, international keynote speaker, world traveler, TEDx speaker, as well as a digital marketing expert. So let's give it up for the Muhammad Ali of mental health, the joyous and daring, Jeff Davis.
Dom, it's a pleasure to be back all these years later. I'm really looking forward to our discussion here today.
That's right, indeed. My man's been floating like a butterfly around the globe and stinging folks who don't know how great they freaking are to remind Mother Greatness. You'll love to see it.
Well said. Well said, my man.
Yeah, I couldn't help myself. I'm like, oh, Muhammad Ali. All right, I got to make a corny reference now.
Love it. Love it.
That's right, indeed. My man's been freaking killing it, man. I can't believe it. I'm like, dude, it's been freaking 8 freaking years. Like, my man's been doing a whole bunch. Like, lived in the U.S. of A. and went to the Netherlands, moved over there, lived over there, and did a whole bunch of stuff, and then came back to the U.S. of A. And now you got another book coming out, and that makes, shoot, I think this is your fourth official title coming out, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. It's my fourth book, and it will be launching on Friday, April 18th is the day.
That's the day, indeed. You love to see it, indeed. So, my goodness, man, folks got to catch up with you, man, because my goodness, how have you been, man? It's been 8 freaking years, man. Like, how's the Jeff been since the last conversation? Like, we didn't even have the pandemic yet, our last conversation on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's been a while. It's been a while. Well, let me say this. I lived abroad for 6 years and went and looked at the root cause of all my life's problems and went and resolved my trauma. So how's that for an update? Not something you hear every day, is it?
Hey, shoot, that's a good thing. No, resolve your trauma, because, shoot, like, childhood trauma has been popping up a lot, like, more recently. At least I've noticed, like, just the old topic of trauma, because, like, everybody goes through it, like, different variations of it, man. And being able to resolve it, like, that's huge. That's freaking huge.
Yeah, exactly, Dom. You hit the nail on the head. And I want to give you so much credit for giving me the safe space to just feel safe to be myself and share it. And I promise you, I wouldn't just normally say it like that to most, but it's just so easy to talk to you and so natural. You're also just a fantastic podcast host. So yeah, I had a phenomenal time overseas, a lot of ups and downs, had jobs, contracts, and consulting, met all sorts of people, and just had some wild, wild experiences in the corporate, in the Dutch corporate world. I want to say a very quick preface and disclaimer. There are a lot of great Dutch people. So if there are any Dutch people listening to this, I promise I'm not torching your country. The Netherlands is a fantastic country. In fact, I'm about to travel back there in a few weeks. Love the Netherlands. I will be honest, the Dutch corporate world is insane, just like the New York corporate world is insane. And just like one of the core themes of this book is what I'm saying is that workplaces nearly everywhere are insane. And Dom, those crazy work experiences I had in the Netherlands, that's what caused me to go deep within my psyche and soul and start looking at root causes. So yeah, I kind of came out of the gates there because of the safe space you offered me. But the Netherlands, man, it changed my life forever. I'll never be the same. And I mean that in the best possible way.
You love to see it. Yeah. I forgot where I heard this from. It's like going into business is like one of the best ways to develop yourself personally and professionally. In your case, like, sure, being able to do that and also be part of like multiple corporate environments, like being part of some of the toxic parts of corporate America here and going overseas, like, all right, let's see how this happens. And it's like, oh my gosh, what the heck, dude, they try to take, I almost lost my hand, what the hell, man. Like, what are
y'all exactly doing over here? That's exactly it. I mean, I promise I'm not, I'm not complaining. These are just observations. And by the way, in the book I'm publishing coming out, you know, incredibly soon here, a lot of the people I feature in the book feature the exact same types of insanity. But in New York and Connecticut and in Maryland, I just experience all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, okay, it's going to be nice and chill in the Netherlands. I go to the Netherlands and encounter corruption, and I encounter toxic dysfunction in, not just in the corrupt company, but another company I was a part of, a startup, a tech company in downtown Rotterdam. It was so bad. I was getting sabotaged. I mean, I'm not just talking about gossip and backstabbing. I mean, like, sabotage, real, real crazy stuff. So yeah, you know, what I learned is it's everywhere. It's not specific to a given city, state, or even Dom country. Toxic workplaces are all around the globe. It's a global pandemic.
A global pandemic indeed. So what ways were they trying to sabotage you, if you're allowed to share, man? Because folks think about the regular gossip and possible, like, limiting your, like, chances for promotion and advancement. Like, was it just that? Or is it sounds like it was something deeper.
Yeah, man. So this is interesting. Okay, so loving this conversation already, by the way, and thank you for the interest. So I mentioned the corrupt company. Okay, and this is very interesting because at the corrupt company, most of the people there were decent and there were a couple really bad eggs. Now let's backtrack in time. So the corrupt company was late 2019 through early 20, right as COVID hit, shit hits the fan with the corrupt company. Now let's go back in time to be clear here. The company I worked at before the corrupt company was actually even worse in a way, because this toxic company in Rotterdam, Netherlands, before the corrupt company, the entire ecosystem of this startup company was toxic. And Dom, should I just say the company name of this toxic company?
I mean, sure, if you want. I'm good either way.
Why not? Why not? This is the right time to do it. It's called HelloPrint in downtown Rotterdam, Netherlands. A totally toxic environment to the core. And what happened there, and Dom, you're gonna probably be able to share some great insights on this as well, is that apparently my colleagues were very jealous that I'm a writer and a speaker. Now, I'm not doing that as my full-time gig. In fact, I wasn't even at the time like making a lot of money from it. Yeah, I had some money coming in from the books, and yeah, every now and then I was giving a paid speech. But my colleagues really hated me for. And I connected with the CEO of HelloPrint, featured him on my YouTube channel, and then I gave a keynote speech to the company because the CEO of HelloPrint saw that I'm this global leadership expert. It wasn't about ego. It wasn't about, hey, everybody, look at me. I had real, solid, tangible leadership insights to share with that company. And Dom, I'll make a long story short here. Apparently, people resented me and they were jealous and they hated me. And that's where all these situations came, everything from snide remarks to people going behind my back, gossiping, backstabbing me, not helping me on projects, leaving me out of email threads. I mean, the list goes on and on. I don't need to open the whole can of worms here. I can kind of just give a gist to you and our wonderful listeners. But apparently that's where it started. Now, I would like to be very self-aware and I'd like to be very honest, and I hope I inspire others to do the same. By no means am I painting myself out to be perfect. I made mistakes too. I swore at a colleague. He said some mean comments to me. I swore at him, total disaster. He actually said to me, we were collaborating on a project. By the way, I'm boiling down like a 15-minute story into about four sentences, but collaborating on a project, I tried to make it work. He wasn't feeling it. He wouldn't share with me his work. I kept trying, bought the guy donuts. We go to the rooftop and he says, Jeff, you're not authentic. And, you know, he kind of proceeded to say some more comments. He said, like, you're not good at what you do. And I looked him in the eyes and I said, fuck you. Fuck you. Oh my God. Dom. And again, this is the toxic company in Rotterdam before the corrupt company. When I said fuck you to him, I mean, oh my God. He went around to the whole company. Listen to this. The whole company and said, Jeff's the bad guy. Jeff swore. And he did it because he was just kind of being an impulsive asshole. And he didn't say all the times where he rejected my attempts to help. He didn't talk about his quirks or foibles. He didn't say all the insults he said to me on the rooftop. And again, I didn't tell this in a keynote format. You know, I'm not here on the podcast to give a speech. I'm here to just have a conversation with my man Dom, you know, with you, man. But yeah, I'm sharing that as an example because what was underneath that is that they were already jealous and hateful. And then the moment I made a mistake, they crucified me for it. So 90% of the company kind of said the whole thing was my fault, but didn't know the full story, but never asked me for the story. Quit the company. CEO proceeds to keep me on as a consultant. But I'll end it with this, and then I'll let you respond, Dom, is that I actually had one colleague. He actually tried to prevent me from being able to get other jobs and contracts. He went around to other companies in the Netherlands, get this, and said, don't hire Jeff. Jeff is not a good guy. So, well, I'm not, you know, gossip and backstabbing is hurtful enough. This was way worse than that. This was straight up sabotage. And no, I'm not using that word lightly. So, yeah, there's a long story made short. But that was probably the most toxic company I've ever worked for, even more toxic than the corrupt company. And what I heard from others is that really it stemmed from their jealousy of me being an author and a speaker. Dom, have you ever experienced that people being jealous of you?
Oh, yes, indeed. It's so freaking true. Like sometimes I've been aware of it and sometimes I'm not aware of it in the moment. And then I just go back later and be like, you know what? I think I might have rubbed them the wrong way when at the end of the day, it's like, dude, I'm not even bragging about what I do. Like, I'm like the most pride. I usually try to stay humble and keep to myself unless I'm joking around with people. I'm like, dude, like, it's just because I'm an author and speaker. That doesn't make me better than anybody. I'm just here, dude. I'm trying to get a paycheck like the rest of y'all.
Exactly, man. Oh, dude, I knew you were going to hit the nail on the head. Oh, man, you get it. It's just so refreshing to talk to you. Like, I'm being super transparent here. Like, I've got a day job. And by the way, I hope people know you can do both. We live in an and world. You can have a day job and you can crush it as a writer and a speaker. And look, like, I'm not giving paid speeches all the time. Like, yeah, here and there. But like you just said, I'm trying to collect a paycheck like everybody else. And I have ups and downs and I've got a boss. So, you know, it's hurtful when these colleagues, think like, oh, you know, they make all these sort of assumptions about us as authors and speakers. I'm not speaking for anyone else, and I'm sure you're not either. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I'm not above anyone. I'm not doing it for ego. I'm actually doing it to try to make the world a better place. But, you know, unfortunately, people get jealous.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And funny enough, on the outside looking in, it's folks be thinking it's glamorous. Like if you got a side hustle, God forbid, if your colleagues following on social media be like, oh, I don't want to mess with the money or whatever. It's like, my man's making that money. He making that money, making that paper. Family thinking you got this money. It's like, dude, you have any idea how much money people make per book? God forbid, audiobook purchase if they have an Audible only Audible book. Like, dude, like you're lucky if you can even buy a candy bar. If you even sell one freaking book, like you probably need to sell at least two or three just to get your money back, depending on the situation. If you're just talking about books alone, like folks like to glamorize it, but it's there's a reason why there's a day job in addition to all the other stuff.
Dom, man, you're the best, man. It's always such a pleasure. And again, it's just always so natural in conversation. And I'm smiling as you say this because these aren't limiting beliefs. This is just the reality. It's not just talking about the fact that it's hyper competitive out there or that people have limited attention spans and competing priorities. It's just darn hard to sell books. That's not that's not being negative. It's not being self-limiting. It is what it is. And like you said, like, God forbid we sell a couple Audible copies. And meanwhile, we've got the world hating on us. So it's like, it's not as easy as people think it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, dude, like it's just the highlight reel people see. Like there's a lot of back end work that goes along with it.
Exactly. Exactly, man.
I guess hashtag authentic leadership busy, working extremely hard, putting the work in, being that role model indeed. So my goodness, man, like, so with folks basically messing with your wallet in a way and spreading negative press about you in the country where folks still know that you're an American, you're basically an outsider to them. Like, my goodness, how are you able to fight back through all of that?
Yeah, it's a very fair question and a very good one as well. So yeah, really to connect with my inner strength, I'll say this, and hopefully this will add some ideas and possible insights to anyone who's struggling in difficult situations themselves. I learned a very powerful truth that if you get the right people on your side, it can counteract and counterbalance a lot of the bad people out there. And I say this because the CEO of HelloPrint took a liking to me. He not only kept me on as a consultant, he gave me a raise because he saw my value and the value I added to the company, despite the way people were treating me. And unfortunately, these difficult situations like that rooftop encounter I told you about occurred. And I say this because I still managed to land new gigs, contracts, consulting opportunities, even new jobs, because I got a glowing recommendation from the CEO and the COO of HelloPrint. And honestly, maybe if I'm in a bad mood, I'll end up regretting saying this. I'm grateful they gave me that testimonial, that review. I had that glowing letter, and you know what happened? It completely washed away the nonsense of others. And Dom, I've never actually even really had the chance to express it like this before, because there's just so much that has been happening in my life over these past years. And now that I really think about it, I'm like, wow, like having a few right people on your side will just completely wash away the other people won't stand a chance. And I'm not asking for everyone to be spiritual like me, but I'll say another thought, if God be for you, then what others are trying to do against you will not prevail. You will win. So I promise you, if you stay connected to your values, connect to your inner strength, and lead yourself first, you'll actualize to a higher level, and you'll see, it was really about them all along, their insecurity, their shortcomings, their weaknesses. So I love your question, Dom, because we're kind of able to transmute and transform a very difficult situation and then kind of see the silver linings around it.
No sweat indeed, because there's always a silver lining behind every cloud. It's like, you just gotta look forward indeed. And it's so beautiful and great to get the CEO and the COO to really write those recommendations and just put out those wonderful recommendations out there, because that clears all the noise. Because it's like, okay, so the CEO of the company says this guy's great, but this random dude who apparently works for the company, or they could be an anonymous metaphorical YouTube account with a face with no face on it saying this guy sucks. I'm like, I think I'm gonna trust the CEO over a faceless hater here who's saying this guy is bad. Always got to the right people.
Dom, if I ever need a free therapy session, am I allowed to come back on this podcast and talk to you?
No sweat, man. More than happy, man. You're freaking cool, dude, man. So, my goodness. So, I guess then, so Hello Print, and then it was another company 2 years later, it sounds like?
Well, yeah. So, here's what happened. The corrupt company, which was, you know, was a disaster. That's the one that came after HelloPrint. The corrupt company, I will leave that one unnamed. But yeah, that came directly after HelloPrint. Now, HelloPrint, the entire ecosystem was toxic. The only one who really had my back was the CEO, and then a little bit from the COO here and there. So then I went to this company, and it started out great, Dom. I was crushing it. I did really well. And they were happy with me at first. So, you know, I never would have expected it would have turned out this way. And like I said, most of the colleagues were fine there. The two bad eggs were my boss and then the HR director. They were just both of them total nightmares. And what happened was, and here it is, as straightforward as you can say it, I went into a massive, severe health crisis. I had a brutal burnout where I was shaking uncontrollably, crawling on my apartment floor. It required hospital treatments. And then I got express written approval from my doctors to go on medical leave, followed procedure, followed law. And for whatever reason, God help them, God help their souls, my boss and the HR director would just not have it that I went on sick leave. They made up all sorts of bullshit or all sorts of nonsense. They tried to turn the company against me. They kind of said, Jeff's a bad guy. They didn't respect that I was in a health crisis. They demanded I come in and work even when I was in the hospital. It was insanity. So there's the core of it. And then, of course, I involved my lawyers and stayed up for myself. But they just, for whatever reason, man, they just didn't respect boundaries. They didn't respect that I went on sick leave. And they didn't respect that I had a health crisis. And apparently, they'd been ruining people's lives for years. I was the first person to stand up to them, crush them in the legal battle. I got a solid settlement in my bank account. Game, set, match.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. At least the way it ended, not the process to the finish line, because, dude, like, weren't you provided sick leave? Like, it's, I mean, if you're sick, you use sick leave, right? Am I missing something there?
Well, get this, Dom, your mouth is probably going to drop open, and I can tell you this with certainty, because I studied Dutch law when I was involved in this. Listen to this. The Netherlands, so the Dutch corporate world, has a more advanced law than America. So America, you kind of need to get it like through your, you know, essentially in America, you need to get it, you know, only through your company, at least for the most part. There are all sorts of, you know, exceptions and stuff like that. But in the Netherlands, they have something called an outkering. I just use a Dutch word there. And it's where you get paid by the company when you're on sick leave. And this is in their law books that the company has to support you. If you're contracted with a company, they're obligated to keep paying you while you're on sick leave. Now, I promise you, if I had known it was going to turn out this way, I would have just quit. Okay. I wasn't doing it for the money. I truly was just following procedure. I didn't expect the company to react this way. So I didn't do it thinking this was going to turn into a legal situation. I was just following the law. But what makes it so bizarre is that the Netherlands has a law where companies are actually required to support people taking a sick leave. So they, you know, they're breaking the law, basically.
Sad but funny at the same time. I guess Sonny. Well, nah, that don't work. Sad and funny. That don't work, buddy. Oh man. Nah, no wonder you won the legal battle, because they're breaking the freaking law. Like, dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. It just, you know, demands. I mean, I'm talking threats. I mean, real in to call it insane. I'm not using hyperbole or exaggeration. So, I mean, really over the top stuff, demanding I come in and work. Again, my body collapsed. This is during COVID. You know, yes, of course, I have empathy that COVID was a tough time for us all. But, you know, they had a legally signed contract that they were obligated to. And then it got so bad, I couldn't recover because I was occupied with the legal situation and the lawyers and you know, studying Dutch law. I mean, this was really serious, Dom. I'm making like a huge, huge long story very short. And yeah, man, I just remember receiving those demands, and I'd shake, and oh, I'd sweat. I'd feel like I was being punched in my gut. And I'll tell you this, Dom, and this is some powerful shit right here. I actually, after I won the legal battle, because I was within my rights, I followed the law. The company didn't, you know, they had no right to make all those demands and threats on me. I actually notified the global CEO of this multi-billion dollar company about the corrupt HR director's behavior, and the global CEO proceeded to fire the corrupt HR director. And that was a triumphant moment for me because I finally stood up to a bully and won. And yeah, man, that's my message. Well, one of my messages, you know, stand up for yourself, speak up, speak out. Don't let them intimidate you into silence. You have power. You have rights.
You got rights indeed, because it's so true. Yeah, man, because it sounds like it was one of them bad panic attacks, man, because shoot, like, those things freaking suck. A friend of mine had that back in high school. That's like, at face value, they look like just regular normal, but aside from just maybe shivering depending on how bad it is, it's like, oh nah. And then when you go through one yourself, it's like, oh shoot, it's like, man, why is everything so freaking cold, and why do I feel like someone had Timberland boots and kicked me in the gut? Like, what the heck is going on here? So I can only imagine how bad that felt, man, because it's almost like, dude, it's like, is this a heart attack? What the fudge is this?
To clarify, what it wasn't a panic attack. It was a severe burnout. So there might be some similar symptoms there. And in my specific instance and experience, it was a severe burnout. So that's where the shaking came from, where my body, it just collapsed. And I say severe because there were hospital treatments for a while there. I couldn't even walk around my apartment because I would get not only dizzy, but I would, you know, my body wouldn't cooperate. So yeah, I had a very, very brutal burnout at age 30 in 2020. And it's sort of the best worst thing that ever happened to me, because I made some permanent lifestyle changes after that experience. So yeah, burnout is incredibly prevalent, man. A lot of people struggle with burnout. The statistics are through the roof. So that's definitely something that a lot of people struggle with. And like you said, also a lot of people have panic attacks as well. Those are all very serious occurrences.
Oh, shoot. Wow, I didn't even know that. Okay, cool. Because when folks hear about burnout, they just think of, oh, they may be tired of like doing a thing or working themselves too hard. But it sounds like, oh, this is the really, really deep rock bottom version of it, where it's like, oh, metaphorically and actually, truth be told, really paralyzed in a way if you had to go to the hospital for treatment like that. That's definitely huge. Like, glad you made it out, man, especially during COVID, man. Like, dude, well, I don't know if I'm opening a Pandora's box here, but like, how was it like being hospitalized during COVID in the Netherlands with like heavy burnout like that? That was probably like your first time dealing with something of that caliber.
Appreciate the empathy, man. That means a lot. Yeah, it was brutal getting shock treatments. It was very scary because I had no sense of safety, of let's be honest here, not only psychological safety, I had no sense of any kind of safety with this corrupt company, specifically the insane HR director, and then my angry boss who lacked emotional regulation, who had a very low EQ. So it was very unsafe. Of course, at one point, and this is a part of the story that actually a lot of people don't know, I actually stopped getting hospital treatments because COVID shut everything down. So COVID, in my case, I wasn't at risk in terms of my general health, meaning I don't have any conditions that were making me especially in the at-risk group for corona. But the virus hitting shut down the hospital, And my specific care wasn't serious enough to warrant me coming in. So it actually stopped my treatment. So yeah, it was a really tough time. And it was very hard to recover because of COVID, because of the corrupt HR director, and just because my condition was so severe. Apparently I was burned out for a while, and it just kind of all came out at once.
Ouch. Oh God. Yeah, because that thought just came to me like, oh crap, this is when the dang worldwide pandemic hit the whole darn globe. And it's like, oh, it's like that on top of just the scare, and then just like okay, so no symptoms of the darn COVID, but it's like you got another condition, but all the nurses and the doctors are swamped with the folks who have COVID. And it's like, dude, and the hospital is shutting down like that. It's a good thing you actually made it out alive, dude. That's insane, man.
Yeah, man. Dom, your understanding is spot on. And yeah, I mean, I from the bottom of my heart, and I know I don't need to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's just who I am. I'm not sharing this looking for any kind of sympathy or empathy. The only reason I share it on a fantastic podcast such as yours and on the Going North podcast is because I truly, truly desire to help people. And I know there's a lot of people struggling with burnout. There's a lot of people struggling with all sorts of unexpected situations in their workplace. Maybe they have a bully boss like I did, or they're dealing with some kind of corruption or other setback. So yeah, so for you to add on, you know, the empathy and the sympathy, it means a lot because yeah, it was brutal. But I put my health first, even though the company didn't want me to, and I made it through. I toughened it out, and for that, I could be proud about it.
Woohoo! Something definitely proud about indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. So my goodness, I'm guessing dealing with those two big companies overseas and coming back to America. So did the idea for the upcoming book coming out, I guess probably, you know, it should be launch week when this episode launches. Like, did you have the idea for the book after you won the case, or was it like during the plane ride? Like, what led to you coming up with the idea? It's like, all right, there's freaking toxic workplaces everywhere, and folks probably want to break free from it. Like, what inspired it? Or was the real catalyst where it's like, all right, let me just go ahead and document this to help other folks with it?
This is going to sound bizarre and maybe absurd, and I mean this in the most sincere way possible. I had this book idea before the corrupt company. In fact, I even started working on it basically right around when I first joined that extreme toxic company that I talked about, the tech company Helloprint in downtown Rotterdam. And after I started working on the book is when I had the corrupt company, and then I had all sorts of ensuing insane experiences as well. By the way, the corrupt company was in 2020. I didn't leave the Netherlands until 2023. So I ended up working at Foot Locker Europe. And after Foot Locker Europe, I went and did a part-time gig in The Hague, Netherlands for 2 years. And those experiences, some of them were good, some were not. Some of those experiences were brutal. But the point being is that even when I came back to America after that, I kept experiencing the same kind of insanity. And what I realized is essentially, I got this intuition from a higher power to write the book before I had all these experiences. And what I believe happened is that I went and lived experience. The book is now 10 times better. And that's where there's a huge difference I've realized between conscious delay and procrastination, because it wasn't procrastination. It was conscious delay because the timing was simply not right to publish the book. So I was working on it. And most of the stories that were going to go in the original book are now gone, Dom, because now I have all these crazy stories of walking out on the spot and all sorts of stuff. And by the way, before I went to the Netherlands, I also, I mentioned this briefly, I alluded to it briefly, all sorts of insanity in New York and Connecticut. In Connecticut, I encountered a corrupt CEO. And in New York, I encountered a colleague who pulled out a knife and threatened to slit my throat.
Yeah, that's right, because I remember, because if I'm not, was that a call center job, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe I was just hallucinating?
No, the what, you mean the knife incident?
It might, Who knows? Maybe I'm confusing that one with the corrupt CEO in Connecticut. Because I think it was like, what was like your first job after getting back from Budapest, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm getting the timeline right.
Oh, the let's see. I stayed abroad in Budapest the entire calendar year, my junior year of college. Came back senior year. I did work for a Fortune 500 company. That might be the company you're referring to now. It wasn't a call center, but it was basically a finance department. But it did involve me basically being the accounts receivable, and I had to contact a lot of our clients to collect on their bills. And in that company, I had a and this story didn't even make it into the book. At that company, I actually had a woman charge me on the work floor. She was saying some extremely mean and rude comments, and I told her to stop talking shit, and she took it the wrong way, and she lost control and charged me. So when we talk about workplace dysfunction, it goes way, way back. That was in Maryland, and then of course in New York, I swore at a colleague. He took out a knife and threatened to kill me by slitting my throat. And then there's the corrupt CEO in Connecticut. That was an agency I worked at. So, this was all before the Netherlands. And I'm giving this context here not to go into every experience in detail, but rather to show that this was a pattern I was experiencing all across the world.
It's like, man, if only the patterns were just for like designs on clothes, like a plaid shirt or something, not freaking folks losing their minds because something was in the water. Folks having a bad day and taking it out on people. And it's like, dude, I
Yeah.
don't want to hear the crap you're going through, man. Like that. It's like you don't want to hear it? I'm gonna freaking kill you, guy. You're like, dude, this ain't Assassin's Creed. Relax.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, look, I mentioned this earlier, and I'm going to say it again. I'm owning my mistakes. I'm not out here portraying myself as some kind of perfect individual. I'm flawed, and I'm owning that because I would be very wrong if I were to say, oh, it was always others. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I made mistakes. I was imperfect. I was flawed. And people's reactions were very inappropriate. So I'm saying both of us were essentially guilty. So I swore at a colleague at a company event, and I said to him, fuck you. And he got a bunch of his New York colleagues together. It's the same company I was from, the Connecticut office, and they charged me, and one guy ended up pulling out a knife and said, I'm gonna kill you. Now, should I have, said fuck you? No, I shouldn't have. That was a mistake. I should not have done that. But does that justify them threatening to kill me? No, it doesn't. So, this is not a one-sided situation. What I'm saying here is that there are two sides to it. And I was imperfect, but I was in very toxic environments with very disturbed individuals, and that's kind of what led to all these crazy situations.
Hashtag ownership on display. You love to see it, indeed. That's right, indeed. Because a lot of folks would have probably taken the victim mentality, be like, "It's them, it's them. They're all toxic. They're all just a bunch of Jabba the Hutts made out of freaking green purple slime trying to get me, man. Like I'm freaking perfect, man. Like nah, it's actually nah. Maybe I should have never told that guy. Fuck you. It's like all right. It's like freaking
Yeah.
self-awareness and ownership on display. You love to see it." Just
Yep.
need more of that out on the planet these days. So, my goodness, man, since you got this book coming out and probably going on tour with it via interviews promoting it, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
That's a great question. Yeah, well, I've gotten a lot of judgment, and I wish people would be willing to go deeper. And I wish they would understand that there's a root cause underneath all behavior, not only my own, but for all of us, for everyone. So I wish that they would just understand root causes better. And I got a lot of violent behavior because of my mistakes, and the root cause underneath that was really my own trauma from abuse I experienced growing up, and sadly throughout my life, decades of trauma. And I'm not saying that because I want anyone to feel bad for me, because I know we all have our own challenges. The only reason I say this is to provide context that there's always, well, let's say almost always, I'm sure someone could find an exception to the rule, almost always a root cause underneath someone's behavior. And I just wish people would ask me and others more about the root cause instead of being more surface level. And that was me speaking straight from my heart.
You love to see it, indeed. You love to see it, indeed. That's right, indeed, because, shoot, folks love genuine stuff these days. They want the real leather jacket. They don't want the pleather jacket. That's right, indeed. That's right. Even if they're vegan, they'll probably be like, hey, I want this real vegan leather here. I don't want no pleather. Like, get that away from me. I want the real article. There we go. That's right, indeed. That's right. It's
yes.
Precious.
Exactly.
Well, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, The Courage to Leave, Breaking Free from Toxic Workplaces, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Ooh, interesting. If that book were food, what would it be and why? I'm going to say an orange. And the reason I say an orange is because imagine peeling an orange and the outside is hard. And so imagine it being kind of stuck to the inside and you kind of have to work at it. It's not an easy peel, whether you do it with your hand or with the assistance of an object. And think of that rough outside as all these crazy experiences that I share in the book, not only for myself. We've got Nicholas Whitaker in the book talking about a very intense experience he had on a Google HR team where he experienced severe mobbing and bullying and being treated like complete trash. We've got Rachel Radway being sexually harassed at Boeing. We've got Sharona Rose Silverstein, who experienced Intel as insidiously toxic, and they were consistently misgendered. We've got all sorts of experiences in the book that are equatable to that rough outside of the orange, and then when you get to the inside, it's soft and squishy, and that's where you start looking at solutions and ways out of these toxic environments and looking at root causes and healing. So on the outside, it's rough and it's kind of hard. And on the inside, it's soft and squishy and delicious. And that's the perfect way to describe the book.
So you heard that right, folks. If you buy this book, it'll help prevent scurvy. You'll love to see it. That's right, indeed. It's an orange. Vitamin C.
Yep. Love it. Love it.
That's right, indeed. So pirates are going to be happy. It's be like, oh, ahoy, matey. Toxic workplaces. That's right. What we do over here at Toxic Workplaces, we don't have them. We have a plank for the stuff like that. Let me stop.
Nice, man. Oh, man, you're funny.
That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Name of the game. Corn cob a day keeps them groaning all day. That's right, indeed. They don't groan, they laugh. Or they just stare deadpan. It's like, it's so bad. But hey, they secretly enjoy it. Well, so my goodness, man, so you got this wonderful book coming out. Indeed, so my goodness, anything else folks need to look forward to in the next 6 to 12 months? Will there be an audio version too?
Absolutely. So the book, check it out on Amazon. It'll be available paperback, Kindle, and Audible. So it's already available on different versions. And you can look forward to, eventually I plan on recording the book myself. So the initial version will be recorded by a dear friend of mine who's also a professional narrator, and he'll be recording it. I'll eventually record it myself. So that's something to look forward to. I'm also going to be out there on the circuit talking about it on podcasts, and I'm blogging constantly. I'm doing lots of speeches, and I'm going to keep spreading this. I'm going to keep using these stories as a way to change laws, to change the entire system. And things aren't going to get better anytime soon. And what I mean by that is yes, change will happen, but I mean the whole thing won't be solved anytime soon. But we got to keep chipping away at it. So yeah, I'm going to keep being on the circuit and keep spreading the good message.
Woohoo! That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's right. The earth's a bagel when we need your cream cheese, metaphorically known as your message, my man. That's right, indeed. Got to spread it around. That's right, indeed. Spread it around, indeed. That's right, indeed. And then put an orange on top of it. Maybe get one of them little clementines so we can get multiple little oranges, vitamin C, spheres on the metaphorical bagel after spreading the message. It's like, yeah. That's right, feeding the belly. That's right, indeed. Getting the vitamin C. So you can get away from the toxicity. You'll have to see it. stage. You'll love to see it indeed. And glad you're recording the book too. So it sounds like, I guess, they got a narrator for the launch version. Then you're going to read it again, but yourself this time is going to be you performing it.
Exactly. And I'm also reigniting my YouTube channel too. You can find me on there at Speaker Jeff Davis. And yeah, it'll be me recording and performing it. You know, the version of April 18th, it's narrated by a phenomenal professional narrator. I mean, it's sincerely top of the business, incredible voice. So I can tell you with certainty that the version he's narrating is absolutely fantastic, is absolutely spot on. So that's going to be great. And then, like you said, you know, in the 6 to 12 month window, I'm going to plan to eventually narrate it myself as well. And that'll add some flavor to it. And then I'm going to, you know, get a lot of these stories and messages onto YouTube. So, you know, find me on YouTube. I'll be spreading lots of love on YouTube.
You love to see it indeed. So I guess the series can be the vitamin C for workplace toxicity. Well, we're coming down to the magical question reserved for guests who come back for round two. And that is, if you're called to give the final keynote speech of your life, but you're going to be in a stadium full of all 8 billion people on freaking Earth. That's right, indeed. You get 90 minutes indeed. So what will be the main message you'll love to share? What were the main points that message entail?
Yes, that's a powerful question. I know this with certainty because of all the people I've talked to, of all the research, of all the work environments out there. There are countless people struggling with toxic work environments. And here's what I'd share with you. First off, you're not alone. You are not alone. It feels like you are. Your bully colleague or your bully boss or your bully boss's boss is making you feel alone, but you're not alone. Start there to know you can breathe easier because we're in this together. The second thing I'll say is that there's power in speaking up. And I'm not saying you have to walk out of the job on the spot like I've done in a couple of the jobs I've had. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, in dealing with your toxic job is that when you speak up, maybe you can make the situation better for yourself. Maybe you could connect with someone at the company who maybe could advocate for you. And I'm saying this because you never know. It's not guaranteed, but you won't know until you speak up. Do it respectfully, do it at the right time, but don't be stuck in silence. Speaking up can change your career for the better. Maybe you can spend less time with a colleague that you're not meshing with. Maybe you can move to a different role in the company. Maybe you'll get a raise like I did because you decided to speak up for yourself and advocate for your own value. That's the next big thing. And then I'll say this as well with the toxic work environments, living my purpose, helping people through toxic work environments, because no one deserves to be living their life stuck in a toxic work environment, is don't be afraid to leave if it comes down to that. If you've spoken up and it's not working and you've advocated for yourself and you've explored options and you've done your best and you're just not meshing with this company, leave. Now, if you have bills to pay and you can't walk out on the spot, then make your top priority outside of your job be to find a new role. And you look for a new role as if your life depends on it. And you apply your ass off and you be relentless in your search. And I promise you, even if it doesn't seem like it, even if it doesn't feel like it, even if you're getting lots of rejections, you will find another role. I've been there. I just got out of a toxic company that I was a part of in Tampa Bay for nearly a year. I felt stuck there plenty of times. I couldn't just walk out on the spot because I have bills to pay and I live by myself. So I've lived this. I'm not out here preaching to this stadium of 1 billion people to tell others to do something that I haven't done. No. I've lived it. And I'm saying, yes, honor your commitments, suck it up, get through it, get your paycheck, and apply your ass off. And it took me about 4 months, but I found a much better job. And guess what? I am now in a freaking dream job. I love my job. It's a great team. I couldn't have predicted this in a million years, and that's because I didn't stay stuck. So the last piece of advice I have for you, have the courage to leave.
Hey, mic drop. You love to see it. That's right, dude. That's right, indeed. Have the courage to leave. Make like a tree and leave. You love to see it. That's right, indeed. Especially during fall and autumn, metaphorically speaking. That's right, indeed. You love to freaking see it. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Because, yeah, a lot of folks definitely deal with that, indeed. If you know, everyone had a job that they've hated, or they've had a boss where it's like, this is kind of uphill, isn't it? Like, oh, man, they got a whole bunch of random spikes and Legos on the ground. I've got to walk through barefoot. All right. It's like, let me go elsewhere here. Where's that fork in the road? Benny, where's the spoon so I can scoop myself to another whole location, a whole new territory, indeed, and escape that toxicity, indeed. That's right, indeed. So heard that right, folks, from the Muhammad Ali of mental health, y'all. That's right. Indeed, you love to see it. You love to see it. Indeed. Out of curiosity, I should ask this at the start, man, but folks are probably like, the Muhammad Ali of mental health, that's the first I've ever heard of that. How'd you get that nickname, bro?
Yeah, man, a good friend of mine, who's also a fellow speaker colleague, just a fantastic guy, and he gave me the nickname because he saw that I was pushing through all sorts of resistance regarding the mental health topic, and I got criticized for it, and I had people deleted me on social media, and I pushed through and I said, you know what, I'm not going to let that faze me or stop me. I've got an important message to share, and I ended up helping a lot of people globally with their mental health, and I've even prevented people from dying by suicide. And he said, Jeff, I'm not just saying this to say it. You've earned the nickname. You truly are the Muhammad Ali of mental health, because you fought past all that resistance, all that negativity from others, and you decided to go and live your purpose anyway. And that's why he gave it to me. He said, Jeff, you're the Muhammad Ali of mental health. You are a phenomenal mental health advocate. And I said, thank you so much, my man.
Woohoo! That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. It's so freaking true. When somebody thousands of miles away is about to go through a suicide attempt, and they go to YouTube and they just look for any sliver of hope to hopefully stop them from going through with it, and they find a Jeff Davis video and that saves their life for real, you know it's the real deal. And this man's the real deal, Holyfield, indeed. That's right, indeed. So for those who need to keep in contact with you, my man, and keep up with your journey because you're still just getting started, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Yeah, so first off, my website, loads of free resources. I actively blog on there, and I give away lots of free content on the blog. Check out my website, jeffdspeaks.com. That's J-E-F-F, the letter D, which stands for my last name, Davis, and then speaks, plural, .com. Loads of free resources there. I'd also encourage anyone listening to go to YouTube, and my handle is author Jeff Davis, and I would encourage you to subscribe to my YouTube channel. And you know what? You can also definitely feel free to email me directly at jeff@jeffdspeaks.com. And just to be clear, my YouTube handle is Jeff Davis Author. So on, you know, different channels, you know, some are author Jeff Davis, some are Jeff Davis Author. But you can find me also as a speaker Jeff Davis as well on these channels as well. Author, speaker, it's all sharing the same message. And I'd be happy to hear from anyone directly. If you want to email me, jeff@jeffdspeaks.com. I'd love to continue the conversation. Love to hear your questions, thoughts, concerns, or if you are related to anything I shared here today.
Woohoo! We heard that right, folks. That's right, indeed. Check out his website. Check out his blogs, indeed. And check out the YouTube page as well. And subscribe, indeed. Help a man get more subscribers so we can share this message, indeed. Spread it around like butter on bread, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. The earth is a giant loaf, and he's got a lot of butter to share, y'all. That's right, indeed. So it means a lot of great mornings await where it's like, ha, sunshiny day, baby. Gonna get me some Jeff D speaks today, indeed. Be sure to copies of his magical books, indeed. We're going to put a link to all of his goods and the show notes that can do just that, indeed. But before I open the random rabbit hole again, any parting words before we close up shop?
Yeah, I encourage everyone to connect with your inner power and inner strength. I mean that in the most sincere way possible. I know it's not easy. I know colleagues are sometimes impossible. I know there's sometimes not even necessarily a best or right choice. Sometimes it's, and I'm going to be brutally honest right now because I want to make sure that this is as practical as possible. Sometimes it's almost a feeling of like, ooh, damned if I do and damned if I don't. And I want to encourage you to not doubt yourself and not beat yourself up because, yes, you might be in an impossible situation right now, but I promise you, if you persevere, if you keep taking action, keep believing in yourself, and keep connecting with your inner core and inner strength, you will find a solution and way out. And I'm so passionate about the fact that you deserve a better workplace. You do not deserve to be harassed or disrespected or demeaned in your workplace. That is not normal. It is not right. And the parting Muhammad Ali swing that I'm saying is that I believe in you. I believe your toxic workplace can fuck off and you're going to find something much better.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in. And if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network, bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.